Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here and worship with you this morning, whether you consider Sunday the last day of a long week or the first day of a new week full of promise and potential. What better way to end it or start it than being gathered together in a fellowship of believers to worship our Lord and Savior and give thanks for our many blessings. So I'm happy to be here with you. I hope you're happy too. Would you join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, you love us so much in spite of all of our misgivings and misdirections and faults, and for that we give thanks and praise to you. We thank you for the blessings of this past week, and we look forward to the week ahead. It is an empty canvas, Lord, and let us fill it with love, with faith, and with your word so that all that meet might see your light shine through us. Be with our pastor this morning and our worship leaders and our ensemble. Let our experience here fill us and enrich us with your love and with your spirit. All this we pray in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I'm so glad God has brought you here to be with us and worship together. It is indeed a blessing, as Mike said, and I am so delighted to be with you as well. We come together today in the middle of Lent, and we have before you our Lenten altar that we've been using on Wednesday nights. And I'll also turn your attention over to the cross over there. You'll see that has an umbrella, it has a candle, and it has a seed scatterer. And you may be wondering, why are those over there? Well, Wednesday night we can tell you, and we invite you to participate with us on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock for dinner, and then followed at 7 o'clock by worship. And at dinner, one of the neat things we're doing is our Faith 5 language for discipleship, talking about sharing, reading, talking, praying, and blessing. And if you want to learn more about that, we'd love for you to come as we are indeed interjecting and entering this language into our life together in discipleship. So speaking of making disciples, especially with our young people, I'd like to invite Dave Griffin and Brian Jasper Ford, as they both have announcements this morning that are in regards to youth.
So come on down at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
So it appears that winter is finally maybe going away, and then maybe Easter will come. And with that word, we're going to have Easter brunch. So this year, if you find Hannah right here after worship, she will be collecting all the various things that we eat for Easter brunch, from fruits and meats to everything in between. And if you find Gus, he's got the other one. You can come help either the first shift, the second shift, or the fabulous cleanup. There's no everyone likes to clean up, so find me for that. So tonight we do have we have our ELC youth gathering meetup. We're gonna get new eyes tonight. Eyes to help us see Jesus and help us see our lives disciples at 4 and at 6, as Dave Griffin mentioned, we've underground with a little nine squares for the fantastic games that we've been playing just because we need to. That's my answer today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brian. For those who are considering our community of faith or just want to learn more, a little more about it, we have an inquirer's class that's happening on Saturday, April 18th. It's happening from 9 to 11:30 here at Bethel. You get to meet other staff members, some of the people who are on our church council, some of our board chairs, but also to give you an opportunity to learn more about our mission and ministry here. So if you can find one of these, they are in the back, and we encourage you to fill those out. And we will be inviting different ones of you to participate with us, and so I hope you will consider doing so. This morning for our opening, in lieu of our confession, we're going to be using the call to worship from Ephesians 2. And I hope that as we prepare our hearts for this call to worship, that you will, as you read these words, take them to heart and what their message is for us, and the wonderful gift that God's grace is. So at this time, I'd like to invite us to prepare our hearts and to have a time of call to worship together. Let us stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the Spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw. Your grace He comes. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who could stand? Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light. that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We invite our children forward now for our time with Miss Sherry.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, friends. I want to talk to you today about a special symbol. And you may or may not know what a symbol is, but I bet you have seen one before. So before I show you the special symbol I want to talk about, I want to see if you recognize some other symbols, okay? Here's one. Do you know what this one means? Peace. Here's another one. What's this one mean? I love you, right. What if someone gives you this? What's this mean? Thumbs up. You did a good job. Way to go. What about this one? Okay. I'm doing okay. Well, the special symbol that I have today that I wanted to share with you, I'm sure you have seen lots of places because it doesn't always look exactly the same. What symbol are you guys seeing here? The cross, right? And this is a very special one because this is the symbol that is kind of a gift to us from God. It's a symbol that you see hanging on walls, like this one hangs on a wall. You might see a tiny one like this one that people wear on their clothes, or some people wear them as a necklace. These are both out of Sarah's room that she received when she was born and then when she was baptized. So this cross symbol, I hope you've also noticed in our church, and I bet you may have some at your home as well. But do you know what it means? Do you know why it's special? What do you think? It reminds us that God made a promise for us that He will always be there for us, and if we have a bad day or if we make a bad decision, we can look to the cross as a reminder from God that it's okay, that He still loves us, and it's a promise from Him. So just take a second here and look behind me, look around the church, and just think in your head, how many crosses do you see? Because it is a very special symbol that we see a lot of in church, but I also want you to keep your eye out this week and see if you spot it anywhere else. Okay, say a prayer with me, please. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us together today and for giving us this special symbol of the cross to always carry with us in our hearts and in our mind, and remember that it means your promise and your love for us. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to take a moment, if Marion and Judy could stand up, and we should all thank them for the wonderful job that they did with our Watts program. So if you guys could stand up. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power and enlighten us with your holy word, so that it might be the lamp unto your feet, our feet, and the light unto our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first reading is from the 21st chapter of Numbers. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord and take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, the person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm reading. It's from Psalm 107. It is in your bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim, God redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
Gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door.
Then in their trouble they cried out to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people.
Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy. Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
John 3:16. Jesus saves. Woo! How many of you ever done this at a ball game? How many of you ever done this in church? That's right. Woo! John 3:16. Yes! This is often what we see in a crowd, don't we? Somebody stands up when there's a timeout or when people are waiting for the next thing to happen. And somebody stands up with this sign that says, John 3:16, Jesus saves. And that is true. And we love to share this message. However, if I was going to do this, I would do something a little bit different. I would use a brighter sign, of course. But I, instead, would do this. And really freak people out. Because it says John 3:17. And they would have thought that I got the wrong number on there. But why don't you read for me, good people of God at Bethel, why don't you read for me what John 3:17 says? He did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Indeed, John 3:16 is awesome, and it has an important place in our life of faith, because it talks about the God had sent His Son to save us, that those who believe in Him, so that our individual life of faith is so vital and important. And John 3:16 is about that, and that is great, and that is wonderful. And so much about what we are about is helping people find that place in their life where Jesus becomes more than just a neat idea, where Jesus becomes more than simply the person who did all these great, cool things back in the day, but that Jesus actually becomes their reason, the thing that guides their life, and the wisdom and the help that they need for their lives. That's one of the things that's wonderful about this. And it's beautiful and exactly what we should do as the people of God. Yet it can never stop there because Jesus did. Because the Son was not sent into the world simply so that the teams could be chosen. That's another way of saying to condemn the world. The Son was not sent in the world simply to see, okay, who goes for Him and who doesn't. These are the good people, these are the bad people. No, it says the Son was sent in the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. John 3:17, Jesus saves the world. You know, several years ago, I preached a sermon about how we're a snake-handling church. And I used the text that we had today, talking about how I don't know if you guys heard, but in that first lesson, it said, and the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit them and killed them. Now, that's not a sermon you get to preach very often, or a text that people expect to hear, but the reality is that poisonous snakes in a figurative sense are all around us. The poisonous snakes of envy, the poisonous snakes of fear, of jealousy, of hatred, of suffering and pain, those kind of poisonous snakes are all around us. And indeed, we are a snake-handling church in the sense that what we are called to do is to help be those kind of people that let each other know that those snakes cannot ultimately kill us, because what has happened is the Lord has sent His Son, and that Son has been lifted up, and that Son who was lifted up, just as God, as Moses took the poisonous snake and put it up, and so that people looked at it and they were healed of their death and their pain, the same is true for our Jesus. Our Jesus, whom we look upon and trust and believe with our lives, we are healed from those struggles in our life. But it goes beyond that. Because it's a wonderful thing that Sherry was doing with the cross. And one of the things I think about when I think about the cross is that you think about it this way. Is that God has come down. The King, above all, has come down. into our world and has spread his arms around that world, not to condemn it, but to save it. And that the only thing that can ultimately save us from the poisonous snakes that can invade our lives, because they just are. They've been there from the beginning. I'm recalling a story of a man and a woman and a snake. Poisonous snakes are everywhere. But the reality is, God can take those pains and those struggles and those imperfection and that brokenness and that shame that it does indeed infect our lives. And God can take that, put that up on the cross like the poisonous snake that Moses pointed to. Take our poison, take our stress, take our struggle, put it up on the cross with him and spread his arms around us and heal us. And friends, he does that for me and you, but most powerfully, he does it for the world. For the world. And it has to be. Would the Son of God have come down merely just to be a choice? Or would the Son of Man come down to say, I have committed myself as God to you. Now trust me. Believe that I have come for you. Know that I love you and value you and will always come after you. You have been justified, made right by the grace of God through your faith. And that faith gives us the healing and the hope that we need for life. Next time I go to a Redskins game, thinking about people who need grace and healing, I'm going to take somebody, and I'll have this one, and you take this one, and we'll put it up and really freak people out. Because the reality is, when we stand up, we need both. We need the personal investment of our own lives that reshapes us but reminds us and leads us into the thing which is communal, which is the gift of Jesus is for the world and for the people of the world. And the reason we share our message is not only to let people know how it has been for us in our individual lives, but also because it is theirs too. The good news, the grace, the promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now profess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You're invited now to kneel for our time of prayer.
The response after each petition is, "The day of the Lord is coming. He abounds in steadfast love." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when we feel that we have lost direction as a people or even as a person, help us remember your presence in our wilderness journeys. The day of the Lord is coming. He abounds in steadfast love. Great Deliverer, your steadfast love and wonderful works have spared us of troubles known and unknown, for you are in love with us. The day of the Lord is coming. Holy Spirit, help us remember the great work that Christ accomplished for us, which no other person could perform. Help us confess with gladness, "By grace we have been saved. The day of the Lord is coming." Lord Jesus Christ, gift of mercy from God the Father, you love us even when we are most unlovable, lost, and afraid. Thank you for your grace. The day of the Lord is coming. Lord Jesus Christ, lifted up on the cross like the serpent in the wilderness, lift up our eyes to see you as the Lord and Savior, loving God's whole world. The day of the Lord is coming. We bring before you, Lord, those whom you love with special needs, known to us as family and friends, Mark Decker, Pat Clevenger, Brenda Adair, Jack McAllister, Karen Shipp, Joan Hannon, Ed London, Doug Newell, Howard Kimnitz and his sister Brenda, the family of Chip Barr, Mary Sonnefeld, Edna High, Irma Ginshaw, Gene Eller, Mark Fisher, Kyle Simmons, Carolyn Gwynn, Brandon Lee, and others that we name before you now on our lips or in the silence of our heart. Lord, wrap them in your loving arms and give them comfort. And we ask the same for all who are suffering or hurting in any way. The day of the Lord is coming. Though we remember we are dust, and to dust we shall return, we remember with comfort that we are your precious dust, Lord. All of this we pray to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, go ahead and tell everybody the peace of the Lord.
Peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. And on these gifts of bread and wine, bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Come now to the banquet, for all is now ready. All are welcome at our family meal of Thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Amen. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.